Hi guys, welcome to the next episode of Level Up. We have a really fun episode planned. Today I'm joined by two people, Andrew Parsons. Welcome back.
Thank you, good to be here.
We're gonna talk about Dream, Build, Play. And then Adam Tulliper, who I'll actually let you introduce yourself.
Hello, I am Adam Tulliper. I am an evangelist and software developer in a division called CSE, formerly DX, formerly
DPE.
I'm thinking about that for a moment. I live in Southern California, and we work lots on game dev technologies and Azure, all Azure. And I have a huge passion for game dev technologies and .NET Core.
Awesome. Yeah, so to start, let's do our Dream Build
Play
update.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, Stacey, it's really exciting. We've had over 800 people create public profiles on the website. And that means those people can connect with each other and see what kind of games they've been creating, things like that. But for the almost 4,500 of you other people in Dream Build Play, please make sure you create those public profiles. You need it for the contest because you need a public profile to be connected to your game profile for us to be able to see who you are and be able to judge your game. Also, don't forget, December 31st is that deadline. Your game must be in the store by that date. So make sure you give yourself a couple of days to get it into the store and it's all published and everything, and so that we are able to actually judge your game. Don't leave it to that second last minute where it's way too late. One of the other things I'm really excited about, Stacey, is that we've actually teamed up with Weebly. Now, Weebly is a web hosting service. They provide a subscription plans of all different types where you can actually have a templatized website created. It just makes things really, really easy. And so if you're doing your developer diary, or you're doing your game where you need a full website for your game with screenshots and how-tos and all the other bits and pieces that you might want to have for your game, Weebly can really get you started very easily. And so we've teamed up with them. We're doing the starter package for anyone who completes their public profile. So here's another incentive for you to do that. It's around $90 to $100 in terms of value. It's a 12-month plan. So check out the Dream Build Play website for details on how that works.
That sounds great. So how are the games looking so far?
The games are looking fantastic. There's some games there that people have obviously spent a lot of time on. But one of the things I wanted to flag was that we have four categories of competition, and I'm really glad Adam's here with us today because we have the Azure category is like the big one, right? $100,000 cash prize. And so I'm hoping, Adam, and I'm hoping I'm not speaking out of turn here, that you're going to give these guys some really good tips on how to actually build Azure into the game.
So
I'm looking forward to that myself because the PC category is the one that's overwhelmingly, you know, everyone's going in that. And then we've got console, mixed reality, and Azure all sort of like trailing behind. And I'd like to see people taking advantage of the fact that we have this fantastic back end that any of their games could actually take advantage of.
Absolutely.
One of the other things we're doing is we've partnered with HyperX. And HyperX make quality gaming headsets, as well as a bunch of other things. They do storage, keyboards, mice, all sorts of stuff like that. And they've actually come to Dream Build Play and are offering up some hardware for people who submit their games in the contest and also are looking like they're going to be part of the finals experience as well. We'll bring more details of that coming soon, but make sure you check out the website for all those details about the partners we have.
That's great. So speaking of Azure, I think we can go ahead and start jumping into what you have to show, which I'm also insanely excited for.
Yeah.
Excellent. You guys are really working this up.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Okay, so what I would like to talk about today is some of the work that we have going on our side. So we try to enable developers in any way possible, and regardless of maybe what game engine you're using, you know, Azure has a lot of SDKs out there that are available for it. Mm. One of the difficulties thus far has been using things sometimes in game engines because they have their own way of doing things. You know, Unity, for example, mm-hmm. Runs on their own version of Mono. And so what we've done is we've taken some of our common Azure SDKs and we've made sure that they've worked with Unity, Unreal to follow in just a little bit, and put up a website and a portion on docs.microsoft.com and some ways that you as developers can easily pull them into your games. So shall we talk about a couple of those?
Yeah.
All right. So this website here, we will paste some links in the descriptions, mm-hmm. right, afterwards.
Yep.
And so what we have is our sandbox site. So everything on here is technically unsupported. This is some brand new work that we're doing here. But what we're taking is the existing SDKs. We're making sure that they work with, in this case here, what you see on the screen, Unity. There's some for Mono game. And then we have samples that allow you to pull them into your application, and we're going to talk about some of them today. And so as you see it today is exactly how they will show up when you pull into your application. And so notice on here there's storage, there's event hubs, there's mobile apps, SDK. We're going to have Lewis and Cognitive Services and, a couple more, I think probably by the end of the week on here as well.
Awesome.
These all link to, let's just go into one of them. They talk about some of the ways, some of the magic that you need to get it to work, for example. Issues you might have to work around, how you can import your libraries. And so what we're doing here is we're essentially just taking the NuGet packages that already exist, and we're pulling them down and bringing them into Unity, configuring them, and everything should work out of the box like that.
Is the flow then that they're doing NuGet or they're pulling down your SDK and they avoid NuGet altogether?
So there's two things. If somebody wants to grab the latest and greatest and maybe there's a new version released, right, let's say today, and they wanted to pull in a new version, they can follow our process to do it, but they don't have to. We've set everything up for them. So notice we have get the source, try it now, and they can download all of the Unity packages that they need to be able to pull this into their game.
Oh, perfect.
And notice there's event hubs, mobile client, storage, and we have everything here to build the Unity packages as well. So if you want to see how exactly we're doing this, we have some sample setup, we have a sample script, and all we do is we grab from NuGet the libraries, we pull out the versions that we need, and then we go ahead and tell Unity to build the Unity package for us. And we'll walk through what those Unity packages look like. You don't have to go through it this way, but if you're just curious of the build process, this generates everything for you. So you can pull down the repository, just grab the Unity packages if you want to get going super quick, or if you want to see how we build it and you want to work off of this and maybe try some other SDKs or pull in other libraries, then you can follow this as well.
That's really good, because I know Unity, from my own experience, doesn't play well with NuGet itself, because it tends to overwrite.
That is correct, right? Unity is an amazing environment, but they do things their own way.
Yes.
And so, and then we have Visual Studio, and we, of course, have things our way. And so this is a way to make everything work together in a nice, somewhat harmonious method. You'll see that the source code right now, we just merged yesterday, was event hubs, mobile hubs, and storage. But there's some other branches in progress, like App Insights, Face, and Lewis. So I suspect those will be merged in by the end of the week. But now let's talk about, Application Insights to start. Maybe because it's my first tab here, it's probably the easiest to start with that one. So Application Insights. As a game developer, why would you care about insights into your application? Why would you care about analytics? How do you know what scenes are loading? Mm-hmm. How do you know how users are using your game? Folks will say, I'm just not getting the utilization out of my game. Okay, well, where are users not using your game? Well, I don't know. They download it, but I don't know where they fall out at. Mm-hmm. So you can have events in there to say, maybe this scene has loaded, or this level has loaded, or the user has died in this location. And you can start generating all this telemetry about your application to track what's going on in there. And there's a handful of methods to call. It's pretty easy to add telemetry. And so what I've done in this particular case is I've pulled in the sample for Application Insights. And you'll notice right inside App Insights is a Unity project. There's our assets and project settings. So I've opened that up, and that's essentially what you're seeing right here. Now this needs some configuration. In other words, you need to go into Application Insights and get your instrumentation key, your API key that gives you on Azure. And a couple things are checked off here to automatically log when your scene loads, when it unloads, anytime a scene changes. So remember, in Unity, this is a scene. So anytime we're changing that, we're just automatically logging that. And then here, these buttons just generate custom telemetry for you. So a user died. That's an event. That's a custom event. A user gets a power up. These are all custom events. Application Insights also works great with things like web apps. So you'll find other telemetry that's more related to that, like, for example, a page view. But there's no reason you can't use this, a concept of a page in your application as well. You can track exceptions. So this code hooks into Unity's logging and will log any errors out as well, plus tracing and dependency. And then there's just a little debug button here to flush it. Application Insights stores everything in memory and flushes on occasion. So there's a manual flush in here. And also, as soon as you stop running your game, it attempts to flush everything out as well. So let's go ahead and run this. And you ready for this?
Yes.
Click, 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 and click. Now we've just.
I'm assuming each one of those clicks is just calling an API call.
That is exactly it, right? So behind the scenes, we're just simply calling a couple APIs. Let's open up Visual Studio here. One great thing about working at Microsoft is we always have latest and greatest, which means if we're ever live presenting and something goes wrong, we're like, they're early bits, right?
Yeah, that's right.
While that loads, I'm going to go over to the portal here, and we can see this is my application. If I want to go in and look at my metrics or look at my events in here, I can go in and analyze all of that. But we have ways of diving in a little bit deeper, right? So if we want our users or sessions or events, we can check that out. But what I like in here is the fact that we can go, let's load up the last 60 days of data. All right, so this is my test application, so not a ton of events in here, 64 events, but we can see the top logged activities here. Scene changed, scene loaded. And with these events, we can pass in additional telemetry. But what makes this really powerful is then we can go in and run analytics on that. So right from within that first tab, we can open up analytics, and we can log any of these tables, or we can go against, query, I should say, any of these tables. We can say, you know what, I want to know where we're not logging things inside of Unity's editor, because we can log things when we're developing as well. Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and run this and view a pie chart out of this. And this gives me, okay, for these events, a large amount, active scene changed. And we can dive in further if we want to query what the most active scenes are in there. Scene loaded, what's our, in this particular case, what's the platform? This is the, Unity still uses the word Metro, but this is a Windows Store app platform. So it's real easy to query our analytics inside of here. Again, to bring it in, we open up that project, and away we go. One thing that you can do is just download the Unity package. So if I wanted to bring this into, this is another one, this is VampKid 3D we did in a prior MVA on game development for Unity 5, or Unity 2017.
Oh, I haven't seen the 3D version of
this. You haven't seen, so this is VampKid 3D. And if I wanted to bring telemetry into this application, all we do, assets, import package, and we find the actual package that we use, Application Insights. And that pulls it into our application. We have a prefab that we can then use, Application Insights. We can drag it into our application, configure our instrumentation key, and we are good to go. That's all we need to do to have out-of-the-box telemetry. And then, of course, we can plug in the custom events wherever. It's a one-line API call. Open the code. It's really easy to call.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's super fast. I cannot even begin to stress enough how important telemetry is for games, especially as you start to go and release them. Figuring out kind of where people are falling off and how people are playing your game is incredibly helpful in terms
of
tweaking it.
If you're not doing telemetry, if you're not doing some sort of analysis in your application, the term's overused, you're doing it wrong. I don't want to say you're doing it wrong, but you're missing out on something huge.
Yeah. And the fact that it's powered by the cloud and the data is accessible from anywhere is also pretty powerful.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like there's a little part of it that's just fun to see what people are doing inside of your game, too.
Yeah.
And to see kind of the numbers being logged in and stuff.
Absolutely.
So this is awesome.
Cool. We have more. Would you like to see some more?
Yes.
All right. So let's close these out as we use them. Cognitive services. Amazing set of services that we can analyze face and emotions, computer vision, like things that we can only 3 years ago dream about, and now we can do it with one line of API call. It's amazing what we can do nowadays. And so in this particular case, we have a single image. This one happens to be Satya. And what we're doing in this case, let's go ahead and there's Satya. We're going to send this off to cognitive services. Now, it's the same thing. We've just simply brought in the Unity sample for this. Mm-hmm. Analyze face, sends it off to the cloud, and let's see what our results back are here. Detecting, here's the face rectangle telling us where in this image. Now, why might you use something for this?
Yeah.
There's tons of games out there that take pictures of not only others, but of yourself, right? Let's take a selfie. This is your moment playing the game. Here's my award. And you can do fun things. If you know where the face is in there, you could put a funny face on top of them. You could swap it out. You can do, hey, what's the average emotion of users using this? In this case, oopsie, what happened? Our telemetry, we've got male, approximately 40, 90% smiling, has reading glasses on, hair bald, 96%. So you get some very interesting telemetry, some analytics that come out of this, all with just one line of API call to send this off to the cloud. So that's cognitive services. I definitely think it's a good thing to check those out because there's so many powerful services in there. Again, easy to use from Unity. One of the things I didn't discuss when we looked at the first project that might make sense to talk about real quick is, yes, we have code in here, but what drives this? And as a game developer, I think one of the most difficult things is you say, all right, there's an SDK, there's DLLs. How do we use them in a game engine? You drag and drop them in, and things blow up. because we compile things differently. We cover this on the website when you start reading through the documentation for how we did the implementation of the SDKs. And you'll find that each library in here, for example, is configured to work on a specific platform. So if we say, what's the dependencies for system.io or system.runtime? Well, this is only going to be used when we click play in Unity or running a standalone build. If we have something like a Windows Store app, we might need a different library in there. And so it's just a matter of configuring the settings on each library inside of Unity. Saying, hey, for this, we're doing only editor and standalone. This might work for Android and WebGL as well. But then we'll likely need a different library for another platform we're on. So that's how the Unity's plugin system works. We've pre-configured that for you so you don't have to mess with that. You should be able to bring it in your project and it should just work. If you have any issues with that, I just highly recommend go out to the GitHub site that we'll have the URL on and ask us for some help and we'll help you get that solved.
All right, that's pretty awesome so far. So we've got two services down. What else do you have?
Oh, we've got a couple things left here. So let's close out VampKid. Actually, before we do, we didn't look at the code for that, just to show you how easy this is. Once we brought that prefab into our application and I opened up Visual Studio, if we want to log what the scene changed, telemetry.
So just to clarify, we're back over to App Insights.
Yep, sorry. Before I close out VampKid, I didn't go back into Visual Studio, so let's talk about that real quick. Tracking your telemetry in an application, it's a one-line call. Telemetry, track event, we're going to send in some data. And that's it. So for a developer, using this is really, really easy.
That is so cool.
Yeah. How dare you make it this easy?
Yeah.
We want to make it easy for developers. All right. Now, shall we look at some more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next one. Let's check out storage. Why would a game developer ever want to use storage? Saving a game state. Maybe you want to serialize some XML or JSON to the cloud. Maybe you want to dynamically bring down textures. Maybe you want to bring down a Unity asset bundle for dynamic loading of new scenes, for example. Mm. All these things that you can store out there in the cloud using something like blob storage or table storage. It's an extremely cheap, fast, scalable way to do this. And so in this particular case, it's same thing. Pull down the source code from GitHub. This is the demo project. There's nothing different about this. This is the exact same code you would pull down. Mm-hmm. And we have a storage object, game object in the scene. And each of our services happens to be configured here. Now, in this case, I have the Azure Storage Emulator running local on my system. It's a free download, easy download, and just emulates it. So it's great for local testing. And in this case, we can use a development connection string. Use development storage is equal to true. And you'll notice I have that in a couple spots in here. Here and here and here. And so that tells it to use the local storage emulator. So you don't even need to set this up in the cloud yet before you get up and running and testing.
Right.
And so in this particular case, if I do, let's test table storage. There we go. So it just added a bunch of items into table storage. Table storage, if you think of a NoSQL type of storage, mm-hmm. so you can multiple data types in there. If you want to store JSON with different values, different, quote, schema values in there, you can. Blob storage is a great way to take asset bundles, dynamically streamed assets. Mm-hmm. You want to pull down some, as I mentioned, audio and asset bundles and textures. Blob storage is a great high-performance way to do that. File storage, if you want to store specific files up in the cloud, although blob storage is you can get a direct URL to the file as well. So blob storage, overall, for me as a game developer, that's kind of the winning one. And then also if you want to add things to a queue. So simple enough demos, bite-sized, they should work out of the box. We try to make this as simple as possible for you. And again, these, when you load them up, use the local Azure Storage Emulator. Mm-hmm. So if you want to test these out of the box, make sure you install that. Otherwise, go to the Azure portal and create a storage account, and you can include the connection strings in here, and you should be good to go.
Perfect. Awesome. So I think we're almost out of time. So I know you had, I think, two more that you wanted to talk about.
I did. I'll just mention, we also have Event Hubs up there, and Event Hubs allows you to do massive pushing of data up to the cloud.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be large data. In fact, message size is actually usually relatively small. But if you want to do your own custom telemetry or really stream what could be millions of events per second, bullets fired, locations that the user died on, your own custom telemetry, or you can even integrate. I was just talking to a gentleman before this, and they were looking at using Windows Mixed Reality and IoT devices. Those IoT devices use Event Hub to stream information up to the cloud. Mm-hmm. They're using Event Hub to essentially listen to that information and visualize in a room where these devices are sending telemetry. What's the heat over there? What's the sensor information?
What's the big difference on when you would use this versus App Insights?
Massive scale custom telemetry that you might need to do additional processing and streaming to other services,
okay.
As well as instances where you need to know that information right away and act upon it. So Application Insights is great for logging and analyzing. There is a little bit of delay before that data is available to you. With Event Hubs, that data is available super fast and extremely high scale.
So they can respond to it in-game to actually make changes based on the events they're getting through.
The servers that are listening to that, which could also be a game as well, can be listening to that data to respond to it. In this case, I think of typically device or game to cloud, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could be device to cloud or game to cloud and another game listening to those somewhere else as well. But if you had a server, for example, and you wanted to make real-time changes based on this telemetry coming in, multiplayer scenarios and real-time adjustments, that's a great scenario for that.
And combine it with storage,
and
you've got some pretty good magic.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So lastly here, we'll talk on easy tables using our, let's go back here, mobile apps SDK.
Okay.
And with mobile apps, what we've done so far, we'll add some more features. Easy tables is a nice, quick way to get storage. So if you say, hey, I want a table to store player state, high scores, any kind of data storage, easy tables, you can go in, design a table, it's a couple clicks, provision it, get your keys, get your URL, I should say, to the application, come back over here, let's run it. Notice first we have our mobile app URI, so this is the URI of our mobile app.
Mm-hmm.
Run it. Now in our game, what we're going to do now is we're going to insert, update, and delete items into that table. Click on this, we're inserting an item, updating, and deleting. So just like that, refresh. Now we just saw a new element pop up in there.
Nice.
So you can literally get this set up and have your game talking to a table and storing data in less than 5 minutes.
That's pretty
really
awesome.
Really fast.
Yeah. Okay, was that everything?
That's everything. We have some more things that we're doing up there. For example, Lewis, if you want to do natural language processing,
okay.
Maybe your game needs to talk to a user and the user needs to talk back to the game and you need to understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're always, every day, we're coding away, making more of these SDKs available to you. So just keep an eye on the website and let us know if you have any questions or issues and we'll be happy to help you out.
Great. Awesome. And we'll put that website up on
channel. It'll be in the description so we'll be able to find
Perfect.
It. All right. Well, thank you so much for showing us all of this. I'm really excited.
Me too.
Especially with the App Insights. That was a passion area of mine. If you can't tell.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on and giving us
of
another
course.
Update.
Yeah.
For all of you, remember, we're in December, which means the competition is coming to a close. TikTok. So remember, even if your game is not quite ready to publish yet, go create your store profile. Start to fill all of that out. Start to go through the process so that by the time you're ready to upload it, you're good to go. And then, of course, you know, we keep saying this a couple times, you can always update the bits that you push to the store. So
exactly.
It's better to get it up and going now than to wait. And I think if it's one thing that I've learned from Adam, it's there's really no excuse not to get Azure in your game at this point. You can get up and running in minutes, and there's not a single game that I think wouldn't at least benefit from telemetry.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So do that, and then we will see you guys next time.
Yeah.
Thanks.